I'm Red Beard, in the studio with a 21st century look at the greatest rock albums in history. Today, in the studio, it's the King of the Mountain, the Top of the Rock, the anniversary of the best-selling rock album in the world, AC/DC, Back in Black.
Said, you know, this has got to be good. It has got to be good. We can't, I mean, even just from the title of it, Back in Black, you couldn't, if it had been the last thing that we'd done as a band, it had to be something, you know, because we didn't know, you know, we didn't know whether it'd be accepted by the public. And I think somewhere in the back of our minds, this was coming into play, you know, that this, if it's the last record you ever make, you know, or you know, because after this you never know, you mightn't even get the money to make a record.
Hi, I'm Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
And I'm Angus Young of AC/DC, in the studio for Back in Black.
Every single aspect of AC/DC's 1980 album Back in Black is truly phenomenal. No matter how you look at it, whether it's the tragic conditions under which it was made, the choices of who was picked to make it, the record-setting response, or the timeless cross-cultural nature of the appeal, AC/DC's Back in Black album is a bona fide phenomenon. Back in Black is second only to Michael Jackson's Thriller in worldwide sales. But that mind-boggling popularity in sales has had a curious effect on all subsequent AC/DC releases ever since, according to AC/DC lead guitarist Angus Young.
I think it's probably because for this side of the world, everyone goes, Back in Black was the biggest album, in, probably in our careers, you know, and they always judge us on this side of the world. We always get judged on Back in Black. In Europe, not so. We get judged on everything. But here it's always Back in Black. Right, you know, people always come. I remember a guy from a record company came to me once. He said, you know, it was one of our albums, and he came up and he said, you know, it sold 3 million. And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, and everyone was saying it was a flop.
That's right.
He said it was the biggest selling flop this company's had this year.
I think that sold 10 million.
Yeah.
That's kept me hanging around. I kept living on the sky, 'cause you're giving me high.
It's AC/DC from 1980 with the title song to Back in Black. After four U.S. albums, the band had finally gained a foothold in America in 1979 with the album Highway to Hell. But just when success was within their grasp, lead singer and co-writer Bon Scott died. It was an accidental death after a night of heavy drinking. After struggling against all odds to export their uncompromising hard rock sound from Australia, AC/DC should have been on top of the world, but were shaken off balance and faced with some very tough decisions. Lead guitarist Angus Young, who leads AC/DC, remembers the first few weeks following the February 1980 death of Bon Scott.
Well, for us, you know, my, Malcolm and myself, you know, we had always done a lot together with Bon. You know, you'd written the tunes. What do we do here? And at first, you know, my brother said to me, well, you know, me and him had started working on songs. So he said, why don't we do that? It'll at least keep our minds, you know, away from it. Because we didn't, at the time, it was everyone was in a shock, you know. And when I first heard the news and him also, I mean, we didn't believe it at first, you know. And when I first heard the news, you know, I got a call at night and it had happened in the morning, you know. A lot of it had not still, and I was like that for a number of weeks. It still never sunk in. And then my brother, we had gone to Australia and we'd gone to the funeral and then with his parents and that, and we had got back to England, and then after about 2 weeks, my brother rung me up and said, well, do you want to start? We'll write on this. It'll give us something to do. We won't do anything. We won't think of anything. We'll just go and do this. And for us, it worked great. It was great therapy, you know, and then we got together with the other guys, and we started to put together the music of the songs, which became, you know, the Back in Black. And then it was later on, the man managing his ad at the time was a guy called Peter Mensch. And he said, you know, well, would you like us to, you know, bring down some people, you know? And at first we said, no. You know, because you really don't want to, first, you know, and especially, and he'll tell you how Malcolm, right. He's a very strong character, you know, he's very strong. And he, you know, he said, no, we don't, you know, just leave us for a while and, you know, we'll let you know when we feel that we, you know, we're up for something like that, you know. As I said, when me and my brother, when we decided that we would go in, you know, just being even with the two of us, you know, we went at it every day. Every day we went into to a thing. I mean, even on the weekends, because I said to him, you know, well, I don't want to sort of sitting around in the flat in the weekend or whatever, you know. And you know, he said, fine, we'll just keep going. And it was great, possibly therapy in a way, you know, because I think in a lot of cases, you could have sat there and we could have been gone further and further and further and just, you know, you could have said, oh, just leave it and gone for years.
After AC/DC lead singer Bon Scott's accidental death from alcohol, band founder, rhythm guitarist Malcolm Young, agrees that he and his younger brother Angus were understandably reluctant to even begin the process of finding a successor.
And when Bon died and we found Brian, he caught something special then, because we had tunes, me and Angus were writing tunes, and then when Bon died, we just continued on writing. After a week or two of sitting around sulking, you know, and we thought, look, let's go and continue what we were doing before. Even though we didn't know why we were going to write, we still wrote because we had to do something. It's like, you've got to go back to work, boys. But work isn't there anymore. Well, we can pick up our guitars. Me and Angus just went and did that. And a lot of special music came through that, because it was a lot. That was something we'd never experienced before. We just want to get up and rock. But all of a sudden, we were sitting there playing things that, you know, there was a different emotions coming in, you know? But we still knew it was we were going to work with rock all the way. But
AC/DC lead guitarist Angus Young recalls the first time he ever laid eyes on the curly-haired, gruff-voiced guy with the thick brogue from Newcastle.
Funny enough, he came in, and it was not even to do with singing. he walked. I think it was Mitch Fraser, wasn't it? My nephew. My nephew had come down from Scotland, and he'd been working in London. And downstairs at this rehearsal place was a pool, you know, pool room. So Brian had gone in to the pool bit, and he was playing pool with Fraser, wasn't it? And then Malcolm came down and was playing with him. You know, and then Fraser brought him upstairs, you know, and I thought he was a friend of Fraser. Fraser's a character in himself. So he's standing there, and here's Brian there with his cap on and stuff, you know. And I thought he was a friend, you know, of Fraser. And then he came up, and then we're talking about pool and stuff, and then he says, oh, by the way, I was to come down here for an audition. And I mean, there's a lot of bands around.
You know, I didn't know.
He didn't know which room. He didn't know who was who, what was what. So he came in, and then we said, well, we're the ones that supposed. So he sung a couple of tunes, you know.
Are you women who want a man on the street?
Let's Shoot the Thrill from AC/DC's Back in Black album. Up next, you'll meet Brian Johnson, the man who replaced Bon Scott. And Brian will tell you how he auditioned for the gig. Plus, Angus Young joins Brian to tell about recording Back in Black in the Bahamas. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, on Twitter at Redbeard Rocks, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio, with Angus Young and Brian Johnson coming up. AC/DC's Back in Black.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Angus Young of AC/DC.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Brian Johnson of AC/DC with Redbeard.
Thank you, guys. This is the anniversary of Back in Black. I don't know if you can fully appreciate what a humble life that singer Brian Johnson was leading at the time of auditioning to replace the deceased Bon Scott as AC/DC lead singer in spring 1980. Listen carefully to Brian Johnson's story of the phone call from AC/DC's then manager, Peter Mensch.
I got a phone call from Peter Mensch's secretary. She said there was, listen, can you come down and have a sing? And I couldn't really afford it to go into London. I mean, I really couldn't afford it.
You were still in Newcastle.
Yeah, I was still in Newcastle. I really couldn't afford it. But luckily, a friend of mine said, here, I'll lend you me car. You know, and he lent us his car, and me dad lent us a fiver for petrol or gas, you know. And then I went down there, and I had to find it. You know, it's a big place. Yeah. The Vanilla Studios. I'll never forget it as long as that. So I had a pie and chips before I went in. And a little cafe around the corner. And then that's when I went in and I saw Fraser. I didn't like to ask anybody because everybody really looked like they knew what they were doing. You know, it's like, oh, there's huge equipment I'd never seen, you know, like Leeds trucks. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I just started playing pool with the guys.
Something you could do.
I felt a bit more comfortable. I was a little bit intimidated by all this huge equipment, you know, like hanging around and all that. But as soon as I went upstairs, it was great because I remember when I told him who I was, I remember Mal reached down behind his amplifier and he went, here, there's a bottle of brown ale for you, Newcastle brown ale, where I come from. And I felt really comfortable straight away because that they knew I was from Newcastle and, you know, and I said, well, thank you very much. And I was going to be happy enough to go back up and tell the guys in my band I had to sing with the AC/DC, you know. But it was as soon as the band started up, I just went, wow, you know. Rosie. And I remember the guys turned to me and said, they said, there's one good thing, Brian, you didn't ask where to play Smoke on the Water. Because apparently every singer had been coming in going, Smoke on the Water. Yeah. See, I think I might have scored points there.
Yeah.
And Mal phoned us up and he said, hi, it's Mal. And I went, hello, Mal. So how are you doing? And he said, well, listen, do you want to come down? And I said, I thought you had a singer. Because in the papers that day, in one of the music papers, they totally missed, they put this headline in saying, does he have a new singer from Australia? And I went, oh, well, you know, I wasn't, you know, I just went, oh, well, that sounds right.
No, that had been the third one that week that had been in the paper.
You know, it was, and I went, oh, you've already got one. He went, no, he says, that's bullshit. He said, don't believe that. And I said, hang on. I said, phone me back in 10 minutes, will you? Because it was my father's birth and I had a bottle of whiskey for him for his birthday present. I went, phone me back in 10 minutes. I said, because this could be a hoax. So I went, oh, well, I'll read. He said, I'll just go and put me bet on. Put his bet on and rang us up. And there was nobody in the house, my mother's house. I hooped and hollered and opened my father's whiskey. Drinking it. And I celebrated all by myself. There was nobody there. I couldn't tell anybody there. So I had to go outside and push start my car as usual.
We'll be right back.
the lead-off track from the album Back in Black, blew me away. New AC/DC lead singer then, Brian Johnson, remembers hearing the band track when it was time for him to record the vocal.
I remember when I was singing it, the first time it was all finished and all that, and when I went in to sing it and I put the headphones on, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I heard this thing, and as soon as I heard it, I just knew what I had to sing like and sound like. You know, you couldn't underplay this music. You had to get on top of this. You know, you really had to take command. It was so powerful. You know, you had to get in there somewhere because it was just like that boom. And Mud did it just to get the atmosphere and all that, you know, to try and get an atmosphere. But the bell wasn't on laughter, but he had that sound. It was like, you know, ding, 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 ding. And
we had to get a bell.
Bell.
No, it's true. I mean, we wanted the bell. The idea came because I remember even when we'd be doing it, I remember we were in that rehearsal room in London, you know, and Matt said, you know, it's a great riff and stuff. Has anyone got an idea for title and something? And I said, I got a great one, you know, with this Hell's Bells, you know. I think it'd be great because it conjures up, you know, this image of it, just the riff itself, you know, and I can hear that rolling thunder. I always liked that. You know, I think I stole it from Bob Dylan, but I always liked I just like the sound of it, you know, that just that name, Rolling Thunder, you know, and then the pouring rain, you know. It was ominous, you know.
The Back in Black album was recorded by AC/DC and producer Mutt Lange at Compass Point Studios at Nassau in the Bahamas. When AC/DC went there for the first time, well, it wasn't just a job, it was an adventure. Here's Angus Young with Brian Johnson.
It was a wonderful thing to do, and it was real fun, you know, like, I mean, because it was just, well, it was the Bahamas, we were just looking around going, geez, we all, you know, electricity failures,
yeah,
all the kind of stuff.
We had all sorts of...
You know, you just...
You added that up. It was, at the time, there was a lot of, I suppose you could call it strange. We had our own entertainment. You know, every night we would go after dinner for half an hour. Yeah. We got a stick, and we would go out to the back and the waves, right? And we would wait till the waves go out, and then somebody would run with a stick, put the stick before the waves came back in. That was the...
And then the next guy had to run and pick it up, and then take it out further. I mean, this was entertainment. I mean, all we had was Bohemian TV, and then, which you could hardly pick up.
And then we had a little soccer game, wasn't it?
The little foosball. Foosball,
so
table
was no,
soccer.
At the time, there was nothing to the distraction. And we were all in the same little area, little house thing.
It was just, I remember just sitting talking. It was my first time ever in anywhere tropical, and that one's gone. And have you seen the frogs here? Have you seen the lizard? Are there wild animals in this place? You know, I couldn't believe it. You know, things like you're sitting watching the TV, trying to watch, you know, get a signal, and then I remember one night, and this crab just walked over my leg, and I do.
When we're recording this, Mutt Lange goes, there's a noise. There's an unusual. What's going on in there? You know, who's tapping their foot? Not tapping their foot. Who's clicking their fingers? Nobody's clicking their fingers. Yeah. He's going, geez, I could swear I could hear this noise going on. So we playing again, and then he's going, stop, stop, stop. He's going, wait. And across, remember, there's this big crab crawling across the studio floor.
I'm swearing me mother's name. It was just all kinds of stuff in there. There's a thunderstorm coming, quick, try to get the tractor, because the power kept going out, you know.
So you had we had quite a few adventures.
Yeah, it was funny. It was real funny. The day we caught that big tuna fish, I never forget it, because we just unshook me all night long, and Plug and a couple of other guys had caught this huge big tuna, and I said, great, we'll have tuna steaks all week, and we put it in the fridge, and of course the electricity
so it stunk the whole place.
Blood, and there was a plague of flies in the kitchen, like, oh. So we woke up the next morning, we're sitting going, who's got their socks off? This is. And of course, it was just every day was an adventure. Okay. We found a door macheted down one day by two guys trying to break in. It definitely had its moments.
AC/DC with the song What Do You Do for Money, Honey? From the band's 1980 album Back in Black. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Angus Young and Brian Johnson for the anniversary of AC/DC's Back in Black.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Angus Young of AC/DC.
Welcome back in the studio. I'm Brian Johnson of AC/DC with Redbeard.
Thanks again, gentlemen. This is the anniversary of Back in Black by AC/DC. After completing the album, the band had to unveil their choice of new lead singer in front of fans. Remember now, Brian Johnson had no track record whatsoever. He was completely unknown, and the record-breaking phenomenon of Back in Black was still yet to be. Here's Brian with Angus Young in the studio.
I remember that the first gig we did was in Belgium. It was like a warm-up gig in a hall that I think the boys had played before, and it was about 2,000 capacity in there, I think, in a real old sweaty heaving hall type gig, you know. And I remember we went on, and everybody was feeling not nervous, just, you know, like, well, you know, this is, let's see what happens and all that. And I remember we got on stage and that was it. It was a win. And the kids, the audience were just, they were just great, you know. I mean,
yeah, we thought, well, for him, for Brian, it would be good just go in and we'll do something small. Mm. We didn't, even when we done, didn't advertise or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy said, you know, and what was good was, I think just for the feeling, you could, from outside, because they had thousands of kids outside that couldn't get in. So we said, well, just open up the doors, you know. And it was making him, we didn't tell Brian, but it would have made him more nervous. Yeah. Wow. But I think the greatest, probably, I think that the thing that I remember, and it sent chills up me, you know, I was like, it made me frightened, you know. It's just money could have got that roar that come off from that audience when we came out that night. You just saw banners everywhere of kids, you know, with Good Luck Brian, you know. You know,
this was so in Belgium, you know.
This was in Belgium, you know. And kids had come from all over Europe, you know, just they had heard. We don't even know how they'd heard or whatever. And it did just converge on
that noise. That noise was, whoa. You know, I was just overwhelmed, you know.
And it was, I think from the, I mean, he got on stage, he made a few. You know, and we all did. You know,
I sang the same song twice. Two different tunes. Well, one of the verses were that, you know.
Yeah, but the kids were great. You know, the audience all picked. But they picked up on it. You know, they were helping him sing it. You know, they were chanting with him. You know, so I mean, there was. You know, I think that was in itself made it go. And as we went further, you know, it was the same. I think for that whole tour that we done, you know, there was always signs, good luck, Brian. There was
all the art was like, it was big when I came off. It was like a football. It was good feeling then, geez.
Knocking me out with those American
AC/DC from Back in Black with the instant hit You Shook Me All Night Long. Because of Bon Scott's accidental death from drinking, upon Back in Black's release, there was some initial controversy about what appeared to be, to some, insensitive song titles about Bon's demise. Angus Young wants to be clear about this.
When we were doing that, a lot of people says, you know, it's a morbid thing, you know, and I said, it's not a morbid thing, this Back in Black. It's not a morbid thing. For us, it was our only way of saying, you know, it was the memory of Bon, you know, and we didn't want to put on the album, you know, yeah, in memoriam, just some cheap little line at the bottom of a thing, you know. And we didn't want to preach to people and go, oh, look at the tragedy of this. We didn't want to draw attention to it. But we wanted something for us that was significant. So we figured that for us, summed it up. And it didn't, it sort of took the sting out of it in a way.
Yeah.
By calling it Back in Black, it was our way of giving something, you know, to him. And also, to show, you know, this is what we are now. We didn't know whether it would be accepted. All we could do is what we done was we gave it at the best of our ability, you know. And that's true. We could get there. We could clown around. We could do something. But at the end of the day, you know, we sat down and we said, you know, this has got to be good.
Yeah.
It has got to be good, you know. We can't, I mean, even just from the title of it, Back in Black, you couldn't, if it had been the last thing that we'd done as a band, it had to be something, you know. You know, we didn't know, as I said, we didn't know whether it'd be accepted by the public. So we had to, you had to make it, you could go, well, this is for us. And I think somewhere in the back of our minds, this was coming into play, you know, that this, if it's the last record you ever make, you know, or you know, because after this, you never know, you mightn't even get the money to make a record, you know?
Before his unfortunate hospitalization for dementia, big brother Malcolm Young, the real heart and soul of AC/DC from its very earliest beginnings in the Australian pubs, looks at the tragedy and the triumph of the Back in Black saga.
Muck came in and he had a lot of good music to sift through and ideas. And then when we found Brian, he was a genuine, you know, Mutt was really good for Brian. You know, he really knew how to get him on board and lock him right in, because it was a tough gig for Brian, this one.
Just how important to the spirit of AC/DC, to the sound of AC/DC live, is Malcolm Young?
You're dead right. The pumping rhythm of, you know, of Malcolm, he's a sort of heart and soul, you know, behind the band. He's, you know, he lives and breathes it. That's what it is, you know. And he's so important to all of us as a sort of father figure. And, you know, I cannot say too much about the guy, you know.
Angus, Malcolm's return, very significant to AC/DC?
It was the biggest, I think, for AC/DC, because I think Malcolm was there from the very beginning with myself. And, I mean, he is what I even, for me, he is the sound of AC/DC. I mean, you hear that rhythm guitar and it starts a lot of those songs, and I mean, I don't think there's any other guitar in the world like it. It's just, it's a unique sound all on its own.
Straight!
Sadly, Malcolm Young, who co-founded AC/DC way back in 1973, didn't make it to this anniversary of the band's greatest triumph. Mal died in 2017, but all credit to the band's sound and phenomenal success will always rest with Malcolm Young, the greatest rhythm guitarist since Chuck Berry. So it's only fitting we give Mal the last word.
It was something really special, you know. That was the whole thing. And even though we met each one of the band members within a day, knew that they'd be around forever with each other. But there was a good vibe. It takes you to look back 20 years down the line to see that now, you know, how natural we all were. And that's the biggest thing that people say to us is, so natural, that band. They're just not as people, as a band, as players. They so naturally fit together, you know. That's what we felt. But again, you were kids at the time. Something clicked, but we didn't know what it was. Let's just do it. It works. Go, you know. But when you look back on it, you see it, and then you think all the memories with it and everything, and the uniqueness of the whole thing, and especially Bon.
I'm Redbeard. We'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Angus Young and Brian Johnson. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard. For Bearded Fish Productions, copyright 2020, all rights reserved. Transcription by Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.